Hadn't planned on wearing my robe again this morning, but we had a wonderful event in the life of our church, thanks to the internet. Tuesday a week ago, I saw on the internet where our missionaries, United Methodist missionaries to Argentina, would be in the area on furlough. They're back to attend annual conference and take care of some personal issues and visit with their daughter in Raleigh. So I got on the internet. They were already filled for Sundays. And I said, I've got two Wednesday nights. We're studying spiritual gifts. We haven't studied the spiritual gift of missionary yet. I'd rather them hear from a missionary than hear about one. So we conversed back and forth between here and Argentina, and they committed to come, although I wasn't really sure. But I came in here with faith last Sunday, and I asked the United Methodist men if they'd give some money, and the United Methodist women, and they said, let's do a fellowship supper. So we pulled all that together. And Wednesday afternoon at 2:30, I get a call from Reverend Lincoln. He had gotten in the States the night before. He went down to Kinko's, went on the internet, and got my last email, which didn't reach him because he was on the way here from Argentina. And he was ready to come. And he came and shared with us in a wonderful way. I think we were all touched by what we're doing as United Methodists throughout the world, and particularly in Argentina. He's pastoring a church there that had about 20 members when he went there 2 years ago and is up to 40 or 50. They have reached out to the barrios, or really the cardboard cities where people live, who are the poorest of the poor, who make between $200 and $2,000 a year. And he started a church there, and they have about 40 going there. They're going to a barrio on the west side. They have about five ladies that have been meeting under a tree to pray, and they're going to start a church there. So God is just really blessing their ministry. But I think God really blessed those of us who were fortunate enough to come Wednesday night and hear their testimony. He stood up there and answered questions for over an hour. And I had to just get up and cut him off. But the response was wonderful. We sent him away with over $400. And I think with the commitment to do more. And as Adela announced this morning, something they can carry back easily are quilting needles, quilting thread, and scissors. So if you want to go out and buy some of those and drop them by the office, I'll get them to them. They're very expensive if they can be found in Argentina. And they take their old clothes, and the minister's wife is teaching them to make quilts. Because in these cardboard cities, there's no heat. And it gets as cold there in the winter as it does here. It's winter there now. And so she's teaching them how to make quilts so they can be warm. And I tell you what, I just about lost it. When he pulled this beautiful stole out of a bag and said that these poor people had baked bread, gone out on the streets of Rosario, and sold those loaves of bread for 50 cents each to buy the material to make these ministerial stoles for the pastors of the churches he visited when he was back here. Well, he got a little choked up when he was presenting them to me, and I got big time choked up when I received it. And here we are with about 40, 45 people, and these two guys embraced and just boo-hooing. But it was just tears of joy that people that poor, one of our teenagers asked, how in the world do they survive? And he said, I've been there 2 years and I don't know how. I don't know how they do it. But they always say, God will provide. And yet, they loved enough to share with us, and this stole honors you. And it's a great joy for us to be a part of that ministry. And I hope we'll continue to be a part of that wonderful ministry in Argentina. Now, our scripture this morning is about glory. And the title in the bulletin is, We Can Experience Glory Now. Little did I know, Fayetteville was planning an event yesterday called Glory Days. And, you know, I told Adela sometime, last Sunday, I guess, you know, I wasn't making a special emphasis, but, you know, I get started and then I just have to go where the Lord leads me the rest of the week. And it dawned on me that what we celebrate on Memorial Day is related to our scripture, because it's our human expression of the concept of glory. Because people who lay down their lives for others, who give their lives for our freedom, are heroes. And they should get glory. We should have glory days for those who have given their lives for our freedom to gather here and worship. We should give glory to people in civilian life who risk their lives to save another. They're heroes and they deserve some glory. But our scripture is talking about a different kind of glory. Not a worldly glory, but it may be a heroic glory. Because Jesus, in this 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, is praying what is called the high priestly prayer. He knows he's going to die. He knows that he is going to reach the pinnacle of his glory here on earth when he gives himself on a cross. And this morning, as we look at this cross, I was reminded by a charter member that when this church was built, that was a blank wall. But one of the first military men to die in Vietnam was Eddie Adams. And his father, his parents, put this cross in this church as a tribute to their son. And in this morning's paper, in the obituaries of those from the Fayetteville area who've given their lives, right at the top of the list is Eddie Adams. Isn't it fitting that they gave a cross? Because Jesus says, I go to be glorified. Now, do we become glorified as Christians by dying on a cross? No. Because we haven't been called to die on a cross for the sins of the world. But Jesus was called to do that. That was his mission. Just as a military unit has a mission, when they go out to battle and some die for that mission, they receive glory because they're willing to lay down their lives to accomplish that mission. Jesus was praying to God and saying, I'm going to be glorified because I am going to complete my mission by dying on a cross. But then he prayed for you and me. He said, not just for these, but those who will believe through them. That's you and me. Passed down from generation to generation to generation that brings us here this morning. I pray for those who believe through them that they might be one as we are one. God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. A military unit, to be successful, has to work as one. A church, to be faithful, has to be one, as God is one. And you know, I believe our Heavenly Father is saddened by the divisions among us. Of all of the people who call themselves Christians, look at the way we divide ourselves. Even here, in our small congregation, we divide ourselves into groups. Unfortunately, one group talks about another. One person talks about another. We do things that separate us from one another instead of draw us together. And it was our Lord's prayer that we might be one as He and the Father and the Spirit are one. Yes, we can experience glory now if we're willing to fulfill our mission and do our duty as Jesus was willing to do. But our duty is to become one, to become so unified through the Spirit of our God, through the love of Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father, that we can put aside our petty differences that divide us as our duty to Christ. That we can put aside some of the attitudes that separate us, that we can be truly one in carrying out the mission God has entrusted to each of us, young or old. That we can experience glory, the glory of Almighty God, if we can stay so focused on our mission that we become one. You know, this glory thing has a wonderful tradition in the Scriptures. Every time God's presence appears, His glory is there. The Jews called it the Shekinah, the glory of God. It was the Shekinah that made Moses' face glow. It was the Shekinah that filled the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle in the wilderness. They knew when God was there, for it was virtually aglow with God's presence. And when they went to Jerusalem and became a nation and built a temple, the Shekinah, the glory of God, the presence, the Spirit of God dwelled in the temple and made it a holy place. And when that temple was destroyed, the Jews kind of gave up hope because they thought the very presence of God was no longer with them. But Ezekiel promised that God's glory was going to come in a very special way. And God sent that glory in the person of His only Son. John tells us about it. He tells us in the first chapter of his gospel, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became real and lived in the midst of the people." The Word became flesh and became Shekinah, is the more appropriate translation. And we beheld His Shekinah. Shekinah as the only Son of the Father. Glory come to earth in a man. And before He left this earth, He says, "I give you that glory." Boy, if we want church to be exciting, if we become one as God is one, we're going to experience glory. We're going to experience glory as a congregation. We're going to experience glory as individuals when we move towards what God has called us to do with our lives. Just as Jesus was glorified by being willing to die on the cross, we have to search our heart and our souls to decide what is our mission in this life. The Lycan family decided that their mission was to go to another land and serve people who had so little that they might hear about the glory of God. What is your mission? What is your place in the body of Christ? That's why we've been studying together about the gifts of the Spirit. What is my place in this holy body? So we can be one and experience glory now. We don't have to wait till we die. We don't have to wait till the kingdom comes. We can experience glory now, but we have to be steadfast in fulfilling our mission. Go make disciples and be faithful to Almighty God. And Jesus says one more thing about that glory. if we don't become aglow with the love and glory of God in this church, we will be telling the world that all of the things about Jesus are not true. He said, people will know that I have come, that I am real, that I am genuine, if you become one and show forth my glory. That's the challenge before us today. To prove that Jesus really did come because his power is sufficient to help us resist the pettiness, the peculiarities in our temperaments and personalities, to avoid the things that divide us, so we can be one in Christ to fulfill the mission he's entrusted to us and fill this church with glory. I want you to know I'm real selfish. I want to experience that. I came back into the pastoral ministry after 15 years because I want to experience that in a United Methodist church. And I hope you want it too. Jesus promised we could have it, brothers and sisters. And he'll give us the power to put away those things that separate us if we'll focus on him. If we'll remember the cross, if we'll remember our brothers and sisters who by faith say, God will provide, we can have glory now. God's people said, amen.